I'm R.E.A. Schwartz, along with my co-host today for a very special episode, Rachel Galligan. Welcome to the WNBA Insider Show. Each week, we cover different topics important to the W. Using X's and O's, along with key stats, we bring honest and critical analysis. Rachel, you take this one over because this is going to be a fun episode, but Rachel, this is your brainchild, so go for it.
All right, thank you. Hey, everybody, this is Rachel Galligan, and I am very excited about today because we've got a very unique and special episode. We are joined today with Gwen Lloyd and Monty Apostolos, who are directly related to the only, the wonderful Jewel Lloyd of the Seattle Storm. And we've got these two wonderful women on here today who really want to talk about a big initiative they're doing. It's called the Women Hoop 2 Movement. And it was started by you, Monty. Is that my understanding?
Yes. Well, and Gwen and I started it.
both of you started it. But kind of, let us know, how did this thing go down and kind of what is your hope for it? You know, were you guys just sitting around the table one day talking about this? But we're just trying to figure out where this thing came from.
Why don't you go ahead, Monty? Well, the whole conversation for the last 2 years, and especially since Jewel has been in the WNBA, there's always this conversation at the cocktail parties about, the WNBA players should be making more money. They should be pushing for more money. It usually ends at the cocktail party. What we wanted to do is to move it a little farther and give it a space. And that's what we've done. We want to go. The first thing we sat and talked about, Gwen and I talked about, is what are the ultimate objectives? What will we do if we're trying to move this forward? And one thing that we wanted to be is methodical. We wanted to take a business approach to this, and we wanted to be fair. And one of the things we sat down and talked about several objectives. Number one, we wanted to create awareness of the players. That's very, very important. We want to also promote the increase of traffic, bodies in the seats at all of the games across the country. And then we need to press the need to the NBA or whatever constituent is responsible for an all-encompassing public relations and marketing campaign for WNBA players. Now, having said that, there are probably some subtopics that we looked at, too. How do we get this going? We felt that it needed to be at a grassroots level. We felt that whatever initiative we create, it needs to be at the grassroots level, which means there are several constituents we need to tap into, including the parents of players themselves, NBA players, and other people who understand that this is a need. And then secondly, we felt that the NBA needed to connect their brands and their network and not leave that up to just the agents to do it for the players. These players have a short year, and this year is even shorter, but they have a short year, so they lose their fan base. The ultimate thing is that we realize that the WNBA players need to be paid more. But it's the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken. The bottom line is we need to quantify, if you can, that movement, and always have had to, because revenue is the big issue. So the thing is revenue. Tickets bring on revenue. Bodies in the seats bring on visibility. Companies see that. Companies want to invest. Owners can quantify their move in paying players more. And we realize that that's a business fact. We're not trying to break the owners because we understand business. But we feel that there needs to be a movement to get people aware about who the WNBA players are. And the biggest thing has been, if it's LeBron's, every person who loves LeBron's or any other noted NBA player has their own personal relationship with LeBron. They're not only going to know his stats, but they're going to know something about him, which is relational. That is the piece that is missing with the WNBA players. The season is short. You don't have an aggressive marketing campaign. Listen, when I'm watching the WNBA game during the commercial, they're focusing on NBA players. There's something wrong with that picture. It should be a focus on the WNBA players, who they are, what they're doing. These girls are doing some fantastic things in the community. They are, I mean, Jewel alone, if we just talked about Jewel, we're talking about Jewel has 100 basketball players in South Carolina that she's working in through her camp, where she's not just focusing on basketball. She's first focusing on a holistic approach to athletes, about academics, what's important, what's beyond basketball, attitudes, finance, how to develop a full and holistic player. These are things that are going on. There are other girls that are doing, Maya Moore, who's very interested in the social justice system. We have girls, young ladies in the industry that are doing some fantastic things, and we never hear about it. So the WNBA player needs to be humanized. The other thing about it is a mindset of male players. The deal is...
Ooh, here we go.
Okay. The deal is this. Most male, not all, because the I believe I read somewhere, whether it was Time Magazine or Sports Illustrated somewhere, where the demographic of males that attend the WNBA games are the baby boomers, older guys who love seeing dynamic, fundamental basketball and seeing it played to the highest level. Those guys sit there, and I've sat by some of them, and they love it, okay? But we need to change the mindset of some males and some of those males who are looking at, well, they can't dunk. Well, they can't do. All they're doing is laying up. They're not trying to. They're playing WNBA basketball the way the women play basketball, and at some of the most fantastic execution of fundamental basketball with assertiveness and aggressiveness on the, with the type of athleticism is required and way beyond what is required as a player. So if they stop comparing the WNBA with the NBA players, that would be a start. I think that would be a start. So it's a mindset. Instead of a fixed mindset, they need to have a growth mindset and appreciate the athleticism of these women. And then next, because of the marketing piece, we need to really cut a hole into the millennial market. Those are the people who are going to buy tickets a lot. They love trendy things. So this, we're trying to trend and get them to understand that, hey, over here, please. We have some athletes who are just as good, but they're not being paid for it. And the way that they can get paid for it is that butts in the seats. And so we need to really cut a hole into the millennial market, because they are a big buying market. And we need to have them, and we need to have women who are going to support these women. So this grassroots effort that we're putting forth and trying to bring to bear, and we're hoping that it gets some traction, is not to ball bash any males. It is not to bankrupt any owners. What it is saying is we need people to be aware of who the players are, come into the stadiums, buy tickets, because egg, chicken, egg, if they're in there, it provides revenue. Revenue then quantifies and qualifies the increase of salary, so that these girls don't have to go overseas to ungodly places. It becomes a choice that they go overseas in order to make a living. That's a part of where we are right now.
Can I just say that I've never had anybody so plainly, matter of fact, and just direct to the point explain that. And I'm honestly floored, because I've spent years trying to put, and you just laid it down in like 7 minutes, nonstop, just perfectly. And I'm clapping for you right now, because that was perfect.
Thank you.
The regulars like us. That's why.
Gwen, do you feel that the support of your family really pole vaulted you, or was this something that you were like, I need to be the voice of?
Well, I you know, have, coming from a large family, and we're very family oriented, I've always felt, you know, as I'm traveling and I'm going from city to city and I'm taking Uber and Lyft, and my first conversation when I'm riding them, hey, have you heard of the women's team here? What's the name of it? I mean, I've experienced that, and that got an aha moment for me, because I felt, I say, every city I've traveled, they don't even know they have a women's team in their own city. And even as large as Seattle, some people, the millennials, didn't, oh, I never knew you had a team here. I'm like, are you kidding me? So that awareness is very important. We need more moms getting involved and getting out there and kicking and letting people, the awareness, let them, we have a team here. You have a team in Los Angeles. Now, I didn't have a problem in Vegas. Everybody I talked to, they know the Aces are there. It's very interesting. I was there for literally a week. And everyone I spoke, oh, they know, the hotels, the people, everyone. I'm basically, I didn't run into that. But other cities, even Chicago, people don't even know Chicago Sky.
Oh, Chicago's one of the worst.
And they are.
They didn't even know the Chicago Sky team. So that's just for me. I said, moms, families. There's enough people out here to help get awareness. That's our first step. We need to let them know that we are there. Women need to get up and take a stand. And let's let people and support these. These girls can't do this by themselves. They're trying to focus on their games. I'm sure they will love to see more support with people with bodies sitting in those stadiums. That's important to me.
Well, that's the first thing they look at when they're coming out with the ball.
Yeah.
The first thing they're going to do is look around and look at that stadium. That's the first thing that they look at. And I, on every game I've gone to, that's what I see. That's the first thing. That's a big part of, you know, that whole morale piece, that whole I feel good about what I'm doing, even though they're professionals and they're going to do their job. It would be great to have bodies in the seats and to know that people respect what they're doing as females as much as they do as they do with males. And another point on this is, I think it's going to be have to take a re-education for sportscasters. And what I mean by that, I'm specifically talking about network more than anything else. I see on cable, I see on internet that it's a whole different flavor. But on network, you could have, for instance, let's take Chicago Sky. Chicago Sky could be the Lynx. You look at it on the news, you're hoping to hear them say something about it. They don't. So maybe, I don't know if they're this because they're male producers or an unaware female driving the what goes on air, but you never hear the sports people prioritize female sports.
You never
hear that.
Never.
You're always gonna hear about what's going on with the males. So it's male dominated. So they need to be reined in as well as it relates to acknowledging what women do and being happy in doing it. Now, I talked with someone the other day who said, I work for the owner of the Chicago Sky, and can you believe he had a hard time getting one of the major newspapers to even put a placement in about the Chicago Sky? The owner had problems doing it. So it's a mindset. It's a fixed mindset that needs to be changed. It's going to take some time to do it, but I think one of the biggest things that we're doing is that, like we're talking about it, like the grassroots efforts, we're going to have initiatives that go on. We're going to have to penetrate the millennial market because right now they're the most powerful buying market that we have right now. And they like for things to be trendy. So, I mean, cracking into that market is going to be huge, but we can't just do it grassroots alone. It has to be that out of these millions, I think they have 2.6 billion that they're working with this year. And, you know, when I read an article, I read somewhere where they were talking about the NBA is trying to crack into the casual fan. Well, we are too with the WNBA. We're trying to crack the casual fan too. I think they have the devoted, the avid fans. They're trying to crack that market. But so the WNBA needs to also crack that casual fan market as well. So it's just going to take a concerted effort for that to happen.
Yeah, and I'm someone who, born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a place that in my whole lifetime has never won a championship until the Minnesota Lynx did in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And now, over 7 years, there is only one team in professional sports that has a higher percentage chance of winning the championship at the start of the season, and that's the New England Patriots. Now, if you ask me, how much time and how much airtime or newspaper time the Lynx get in Minnesota. I'm talking simple, you know, sports radio talk. It's not anywhere near any other team. Absolutely. And when the Athletics started in Minnesota, they didn't even hire a beat reporter for the most decorated sports team in Minnesota sports history until the head coach went on a social media campaign and basically publicly shamed them along with their fan base into hiring somebody. You're looking at LA right now, who just hired a manager in the Athletic in LA. They don't have a beat reporter for the Sparks, the last team to win a championship in LA. I mean, there's all these things going on, and I'm 100% with you. Nobody's talking about it. Rachel, I know you had a question. Sorry to jump in there.
No, you're totally fine. I wanted to quickly just go back. You know, I'm from Chicago, so I've been able to see kind of the evolution of the Chicago Sky firsthand. And I will say, you know, for kind of a privately owned franchise like that, there has been some positive changes. You know, the first and the major one for me is the change from Allstate Arena to Wintrust Arena, which was a big difference. I've been to several of those games this year, and you have already seen the attendance and just the atmosphere increase. So there are positives, not just from a venue standpoint, from a support standpoint, even from our end of it, on the media standpoint. We are seeing people jump in and be more vocal. We're seeing more coverage. Now, we also live in a bubble. Yes. We live in our WNBA women's basketball bubble. And in the grand scheme of it, you really start to sit back and realize, oh my gosh, this is a daunting task. We have so much more to do.
Right.
And like, Gwen, I wanted to ask you, in the Women Hoop 2 movement, is this something that you are targeting with players' mothers, players' families directly, everybody? Kind of speaks to me on that a little bit.
Well, I would love first to get the mothers involved, and would like to, you know, have a meeting or Skype or, you know, from Chicago. That's why I wanted to have a meeting when I get back. I would love to first get their input and see how far they would like to go and see if they want to be involved in what we're trying. Because it's only that mothers speak volumes. I mean, parents don't realize how much power we can have, but it needs to be people who are interested. So.
It also needs to be initiatives. Now, you heard me mention that we need to crack some of these markets. We need to galvanize some of those people that we glean as leaders in those areas and sit down and talk with them and tell them what we're trying to do. And it's going to be re-education, if you will, for them to understand the plight and what's going on. So there are several pockets of people that we need to get rolling on this from a grassroots level. I love the campaign, the NBA saying they like to lean in. I want them to lean in on this, because if they want to lean in,
with some pocketbook.
Okay, lean in. And partner with the WNBA. The one thing that I love about Kobe Bryant and he's been very vocal about supporting, especially Jewel, as a mentor, okay? There are other players out there that have communications with a lot of the WNBA players. So we need them to lean in vocally and say that, hey, get in the seats. We need them to come to some of the games. We need them to be a little more visible. There needs to be a player partnership in this thing, because they do have great influence. So if there is any leaning in, we want them to lean in there. The other thing is, we need to have, again, going back to grassroots, we need other people who are very vocal, who are very visible, and who have influence to attach themselves to this campaign. But most importantly, we need the players to be involved, to get on the Women Hoops too. Because what we're trying to do on the Twitter account is not to necessarily talk about how many points a player has done. We want to talk about them as individuals. And we have been posting things about, for instance, Candace Parker and her relationship with her daughter. We've talked about Maya Moore and her effort with social justice. We'll be talking about Jewel and her effort with this showcase prospect camp that she's got going. We're going to talk about other young ladies who are doing things, and because the fan needs to connect with them as a being a human. And once they do that, there is a great appreciation of a person the more you know about them. And then it especially has to happen with us being women, because the world eyeballs are different on us. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it is what it is.
And these have stories. They have stories. I know they do have the player page, Tribune or something, but more of those stories need to be told. I've traveled around the country with a lot of the players, and I've heard stories. These women, they have stories. And I think the people need to hear that. When people connect with their players, then they have a connection and they really want to come and attend the games.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You know, something that has always struck me and rubbed me in the wrong way is, and I don't want anybody to take this in the wrong light, junior NBA. Now, the WNBA is extremely involved in that. But every time you see a commercial, okay, and I don't know how to properly put this in a respectful way to the NBA, but like every time there's a commercial for junior NBA, there's Shanae Agumake, there's, you know, Candace Parker, uh-huh. there's, you know, all these WNBA players who are wearing the NBA logo with the NBA insignia on it. And to me, I'm like, look, if you're not going to lean in with your pocketbooks,
you
don't get to cash out on the hard work in the community right. that these women are doing. Uh-huh. There's not a huge, you know, people haven't been talking about the fact that Sylvia Fowles donated her whole salary or
yes.
her winnings from the MVP award
yes.
back to the community. The only story, I only saw one story all last year about Tina Charles, who donated 7 years
yes.
of her salary to get defibrillators to at-risk areas that couldn't afford it.
Thank you.
Look, in The Insider, we have always prided ourselves in being honest and critical and trying to cover the league as athletes, because we felt that there was maybe one story coming out about the W,
uh-huh.
and typically they would try and talk about how nice of people they are. And to me, it's both sides.
Yes.
You need to cover both. They are amazing athletes.
Yes.
They are doing
yes.
ridiculously mind-blowing things on the court.
Right.
But with a second they step off the court, they are amazing people that no other professional sports league, especially if you want to call it the Big Four, the NBA, the MLB, all that crap, they don't do the things off the court. They are not good people
Definitely.
Like the WNBA
I agree.
Is.
I agree with you 100%.
Definitely.
I agree with
all
you.
Right, well, I thought one of you was going to. No.
I agree with you. I
yes.
love that.
Yes, I totally agree.
Ladies, this is just so. I'm just so thankful to have this time to kind of talk about these very important topics. And we obviously, these are things that are being very vocalized nonstop from the women themselves, from members of the media, from fans. These things are being talked about, and we need to continue to raise awareness. We need to continue to bring these questions up, like you said, from top to bottom. Why aren't we pulling in more male fans? Why can't they get paid more?
Uh-huh.
Why can't we get more people in the stands? How can we generate more awareness? One thing you guys have been doing is you've been going to these games, specifically Chicago and Seattle, and you're bringing
uh-huh.
signage. Is that something you guys do at every game you attend?
We're trying to get it in every city. Gwen has been handling Seattle. We have relatives in Dallas who have been doing it. We have some people in Atlanta who are doing it. And, of course, in Chicago, I'm flagging every time. I'm fortunate to be a season ticket holder for the Sky, so I have front row. I'm making sure that I have the signs there. And guess what? This is what warms my heart. I sit on the opposite side, so when the players come in to do their shoot around before the game starts, when they come out and they see those signs, their
yeah.
eyes light up.
Yeah, they do.
They just light up and they give me thumbs up. I've been getting
yes.
hugs
yes.
from the sideline because they say, thank you so much for your support. And we say, okay, we're trying to move this thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, that is something we're trying
Which
to get signs up. We
Which is why
signs
I need
up.
The other moms to contact me in the other areas so we can get those signs up as well. but if I'm attending games in the different states, I would totally have my sign as well.
Oh, that's great to hear. I do have a question for you, Gwen.
Yes.
When you guys kind of came up with this idea, what was your daughter's reaction? What was Jules' reaction to this?
Jules very quiet. She, in fact, we haven't had a lot of time to talk and tell her. She does know what we're doing in terms of our objective and pretty much that. But we haven't had a chance to talk. She's been in and she's been traveling. She's been out of town. But I'm sure she's supportive. Anything that's good, she's supportive. That's going to benefit everyone. I'm sure she's supportive of it.
You know, you both talked about Jewel's work in a camp in South Carolina, but I believe she also had, she sponsored a showcase for young women in Chicago. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, in fact, I'm working on that now as we speak. I'm putting together the corporate sponsorship packet for that because we're asking corporate sponsors to come in over a five-year period at our top sponsor to come in at $250,000 for, that's just $50,000 each year. But what's happening there is working with Daniel Bondman, who started from years ago, had the, I think it was called Swag Air Showcase, where he would bring in juniors and seniors who not necessarily going to get the eye of all of the coaches from the top schools, the Division I or II schools, but those who may have good talent, and he wanted to get them an opportunity not just to be seen by a coach, but also to get a scholarship to go to school because many of them come from poor families, and a lot of them won't get a chance to go to college unless they get scholarships. So last year, Evan Turner asked Jewel to partner with him, and they partnered together on the showcase. They had about 400 juniors and seniors to come together, and we had about 50 to 60 coaches. By the end of the two-day session, I think maybe 50 scholarships were given out. This year, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're trying to broad base it, though. And so they're, again, inviting in. The other part that they've expanded on this is they're proposing to get into Chicago public schools, about five of them, eighth grade level, so they can have a tutoring program and a mentoring program for both girls and boys so that they can talk about the academic piece and the real life piece for them so it can sustain them so that it's not all about ball, it's about being a person. And so they're broaching that piece of it this year, and we're hoping to get it sponsored by some corporation.
And make sure it is also free. She doesn't charge. They're not charging.
She doesn't charge, no. Right.
And I was going to bring that up. You know, our managing editor of our site, Maurice Brooks, has a son and two daughters, and he was telling me how his son, he's never paid a dime for any AAU anything. They're young kids right now, but he said for his daughters, the amount of money that it takes to put them through, is tenfold more, and then the payout at the end isn't even higher.
Yes, right.
What's up with that?
Yes, I've been through it. My husband and I had an account each summer just for AAU. Not to mention the hotels you're spending when you're traveling with your kids, your food, the hotel, the traveling, the flights. It's very expensive.
Well, again, it's that disparity. It's across the board. I mean, if you see it at that level, you know, what can you expect on the top level? But the bottom line is you have disparity there. And that has to cease and desist. That has to cease and desist.
I mean, what do you think the next step is? That what can we do at The Insider to help you ladies in your cause? Because I obviously you can tell because we had you on and we're obsessed with you. But we want to help. What can we do? I sit in press row, so I can't carry a sign. But I know a season ticket holder here in D.C. who's going to start carrying a sign after we get off this.
I hope so. Well, one of the things that we're working on, visibility of the players. The human side of the players need to be told. Keeping players out there where you're interviewing them, talking about the things that they're doing in the community. That's one of them. The second thing is to encourage people to buy tickets to get to the game. I think having that visibility and encouraging them to buy the tickets, take a risk. On the hoop, women hoop too, I said to some of the people, summertime, take your daughter, take your son. If you want to spend some quality time with them, take them to a WNBA game. They will never forget it, and they won't forget the time that they spent with you. That kind of thing needs to be you know, sounded all over the country. People need to get out and get to these games, because that is the only way we're going to be able to justify and generate the kind of the dollars that's going to justify or quantify these ladies being paid commensurate for the work that they do.
And with increased salaries, then my daughter can have an option of whether or not she wants to go overseas or not. That's my concern as a parent.
Yeah, and talk to me about that a little bit. You know, these women are going over there, and a lot of the average fan does not understand this.
No,
their salary in the WNBA is minuscule compared to the money that they're going over and playing in places like Istanbul and in Russia, places where they're not the greatest.
No.
They're not destinations by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, and where
the big money is, that's where they have to go to do that, you know, for eight, 9 months out of the year. How many of those women would, you know, say they even made a quarter of what the men made, for instance? Now that's going to be high. I know I'm being really bold with that. How many of those women do you think would still go over there?
I'm telling you, if they made at least 300,000, then my daughter can stay home. She's not missing the holidays. She's not missing, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving dinner, you know, quality time, and even trying to do some of her humanitarian work. But to be over there 9 months, that's a lonely world. I was in Istanbul with her. After a month, I'm literally almost crying, ready to get back to America. So you can imagine being there for 9 months. That's a lonely world.
It is a lonely world, and it speaks to life work balance.
Right.
It speaks to life work balance. These women are going over to a foreign country. You know, they want to make the fact. Here's, I gotta give them kudos. Their attitude towards women in basketball, they will come out to watch them play.
Yes,
it's much different.
Oh, yes.
It's much different than
they
here.
They support them. I'm telling you. I've gone with Jewel to South Korea and to Istanbul. The places are packed. They support them. The audience much more. I mean, everybody's there, mostly, that I've gone to. The games are packed.
Well, they do, but for the girls the wear and tear on their bodies, you know, I was reading where Gumike, who's now gone into a plant diet, in which I copied from her, the plant diet, because she wants to get her body, you know, get that wear and tear off her body, it wears them out. Girls who may want to have children, have a life, you see what I'm saying? They, in order to balance that life, they have to, you know, go and make money and come back over here. So it's that type of thing. I would like for it to be just by choice, like it is for NBA players, that you go overseas.
Well, and not everybody has parents or family members that are in a position that they can go overseas with them.
Exactly.
Like you
did, that's so
which
true.
Is so much harder for these other players. And like you touched on, Monty, they, you know, the wear and tear. So not only are they getting paid significantly less, but these women, yes, they are highly educated. They are getting education, but the career path that they're choosing is for so much of the love of this, because they're playing overseas, their lifespan in the W is so much shorter because of the beating on their body. It's like banging my head against the wall, yelling at people that you got to give them more respect and more money.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. And that is why we know, because the thing that what we're going to hear every time, and you hear it from those, well, people don't come to the games. Okay, well, I still will stand on my ground to say that there needs to be better advertising dollars spent, better marketing dollars structured, and I do know the digital marketing needs to be heavied up because of the fact that the market that we're trying to penetrate, this casual fan that they talked about that they're trying to get for the NBA, we want to get the casual fan for our WNBA as well. And they discovered, oh, we're going to go to digital marketing now. Aha moment. Yeah, but we need to do the same thing for the WNBA. We have to do the same.
Who came up with Twitter games?
Jewel Lloyd.
That's right.
Yes.
You got to bring it up to 21st century thinking.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Gwen and Monty, you guys, your energy, everything you guys are about, it just speaks into the hearts of so many of us who love the WNBA and women's basketball in general. I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on here and spending some time with us and just kind of explaining.
Thank you so much.
Of course, explaining to us the Women Hoop 2 movement, the things you guys are doing in the stands at these games, what you're trying to accomplish, because as direct family members to, you know, one of the best athletes in the league, it's great to hear your voice. It's great to hear, you know, what you guys are about and what you're trying to push, and we just appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, thank you guys. This has been the WNBA Insider Show with two of the best guests we've ever had. Gwendolyn Lloyd and Monty, I don't want to mess up your last name, but we love you so much. Thank you.